torsos rotting in a drum, a heart in his fridge, a bucket of sawn off hands and some skulls. And he had put the heart in the fridge because he was going to eat it. Very sick. He took his first victim in 1978. And for the next 13 years, he took 15 more. That's 16 people that belong to 16 different families. None of them got a whole body back to have a proper funeral. When he was on trial, they actually had to build a special 18-foot-high barrier to protect him from people that wanted to get to him. He was found guilty and he was sent to prison for 957 years. He got what he deserved, a life sentence. While he was in prison, though, Jeffrey Dahmer met a man called Jesus. And he became a Christian. By all accounts, everyone who saw him in the prison said he was very genuine about this profession of faith. Jeffrey Dahmer himself said, "Actually, I should have been put to death for what I had done." He was sincere about his belief in Jesus. He served in the chapel. Jeffrey Dahmer, the worst serial killer in American history, will be in heaven. Man, I mean, imagine you bump into, you know, you bump to one of the families of the victims, and you tell them, "The person who took your son will be in heaven." Tell me that does not sound right to you. It doesn't sound right to me. To think that I'll be standing side by side in heaven with someone like Jeffrey Dahmer. It goes against every single value I can think of. That is not the place for people like him. You know, the disciples in our passage today, they were thinking something very similar. Something very similar was running in their heads. You know, in verse 25 of the previous chapter, verse 25, the disciples say, they say to Jesus, "Who then can be saved?" You know, a blessed, faithful Jewish man had just come up to Jesus, the very opposite of everything that is Jeffrey Dahmer, and Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, "It is impossible. It is impossible for this guy to enter the kingdom of God." Jeffrey Dahmer, definitely in heaven. Faithful Jewish guy, impossible. How is it God can be so good to someone like Jeffrey? Because that does not make sense to me. And this is why Jesus shares this parable, to teach his disciples and us something about the way in which God works. Well, the parable starts off in a scene that would have been very, very familiar back then. In fact, in some parts of Asia, it's still very much a very familiar scene. A landowner who needs workers for his vineyard goes out to the marketplace to hire them. And these workers are just free bodies waiting to be hired. They're poor. They obviously didn't have their own job or their own property or their own business. And so they live a day-to-day existence, seeking job after job, task after task. And so at the break of dawn, they'll gather in the marketplace just hoping that someone would come by and give them a job to do for the day. And so we read in the first 7 verses, we realize that the landowner is coming, he's got work to be done. That's awesome. That's exactly what they've been waiting for. So this landowner hires some of them early on in the morning for a denarius. That's a standard day's wage. But as the day wears on, he goes back in and he hires more. In the 3rd, 6th, 9th, 11th hours, depending on what you got in your scriptures, it's basically the same as a working day. You start at 9 in the morning. He comes in at lunchtime. He comes in at 3 in the afternoon. He comes at 5. Now, I don't know about what you think about this landlord, but I think he's a bit stupid. Because you would think, if you got work to do, well, you'd do your homework first. I mean, you're wasting your money. You come back to the marketplace so many times. You know, it's like, we're going to drive from Roseville to Melbourne. So I'll put $5 of petrol into my car. I mean, you haven't even hit the highway before you got to go fill up. And I'll put in another $5. But whatever we think about this landowner, he is fair, isn't he? He's fair. He has agreed to a standard day's wage to the first people he hires. I'll pay your denarius. And he tells the workers later and says, look, don't worry. I promise I'll pay you what is right. He's a fair guy. But I do think these verses also tell us why he hires them in the first place. You know, 3 hours into their working day, lunchtime. 3 hours after 9, it's 12 o'clock at lunchtime, he goes back into the marketplace and he notices that they have been hired. And so he says to them in verse 3, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He hires them. Verse 6, he does the same thing. Finally, he arrives back at the marketplace. 5 o'clock, one hour before day's done, and he says to them, why have you been standing here doing nothing? They do want to work, but no one has hired them. And so he does. In Deuteronomy 24:14, this is what it says. Do not take advantage of a hired man who is poor and needy. Whether he is a brother Israelite or an alien living in one of your towns, pay him his wages each day before sunset, because he is poor and he's counting on it. See, the landowner hires these men because he knows they need it. They need the work. Their entire existence depends on it. They live day to day, job to job, tasks. These are desperate people who have families to feed. And so when they're standing in the marketplace, they're not just waiting. They're begging for work. They are desperate for work. The landowner hires these men because he wants to give them what they need. God gives people what they need. That's how it works. Jeffrey Dahmer, what did he need? He needed forgiveness. He needed the gospel. You and me are people who have exactly the same need. And we can kind of already start to see a problem in the way we think, isn't it? Because we look at Jeffrey Dahmer, we look at faithful Jewish guy, and we weigh them up. But they're both just beggars in the marketplace with exactly the same need. Everyone is a beggar in the marketplace. But God doesn't just see our need. He wants to give what they need. But as we kind of see in our passage, when the landowner meets the needs of these people, well, it's not really appreciated by everyone, is it? So in verse 8, this is what it says. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So that when those who came were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. Imagine you're an all-day worker. You've been there since the crack of dawn. End of the day arrives and you all line up to receive your pay. And the last ones hired, well, they're meant to go first. And you go, well, it's a bit strange, but okay, let's roll with that. You look to the front and you notice that the landowner drops into the hands of the guy hired last. He gives him a whole denarius. You know, you check the time and you go, he's only been here for an hour. I mean, that's crazy. 1 hour, one denarius. You do the math. I've been here for 12 hours. That's 12 denarii that I'm going to eat. That's 12 days worth of pay I have made today. The line gets shorter. And you notice the guy who came halfway through the day, well, he also gets a denarius. Well, that's a bit odd. I kind of thought he would get 6. But that's all right, because he came halfway. He didn't work as hard as I did, because I started it in the morning. You get to the front of the line, you hold out your hands, and you get the same as every other guy before you. A single denarius. I mean, that's not right, is it? You and I both know that's not right. That's not fair. Because you get paid for what you put in. It's very simple. Whatever you work, you get paid for the work you've done. When I was working in the IT industry before I started ministry, there was this one guy who annoyed me every day. The same guy. He was always late. He rocked around 9:30. And the first thing he'd do was, he'd go to the kitchen and get a bowl and pour his cereal into it. Then he'd spend the next 15, 20 minutes eating his cereal, and I could hear him. I didn't want to look at him. I could hear him slurping his cereal. I didn't want to, because I knew I'd get so angry, because I knew he was kind of just checking his email, checking the latest scores of cricket. I was there on time. In fact, man, sometimes I would be checking my email when I woke up because things had to be done. I was so angry because we were working the same job and getting exactly the same pay. I'll be honest with you guys, sometimes I think of the Christian life like that. You know, I don't mind serving at church. I like serving at church. I don't mind. I like serving God. But I tell you what makes me angry. When other people I serve with just don't seem to serve as hard. And I think, man, I have given up so much. I work so hard. I have put my own family on the line for this, my own health on the line for the ministry of the gospel. And then you see the person just kind of walks in and just does nothing. That is a really dangerous way to think about how God works. You know, when we think about it, that's how the Christian life works. We want to serve God, except when we look at others and see how little they do. They're not in the fields. Their hands aren't on the plow. Maybe you're an all-day worker like me. Grace alone, yes. Faith alone, yes. Christ alone, yes. But it is absolutely annoying to just see people just rock up to church whenever they want to. And they kind of come to Bible study and complain that no one calls them. And every time they rostered on something on Sunday, there's always an email firing back, oh, you know, I can't make it on this Sunday. Can I swap with someone? And then I'll finally have a chat with them. So, you know, how things are going. And I say, oh, yeah. Well, I've been thinking about going to a church up the road. The music's really good there. And I know I'll never admit it to them. The truth is, I value myself above them. Because haven't I borne the burden and the work and the heat of the day? Aren't I worth more than them? If only they knew how much time goes into preparing a Sunday talk. If only they knew that I have had to turn down Friday night work drinks, parties and dinners to hold a Bible study. If only they knew. And the all-day workers are so envious. I get so envious. And sometimes I think, why do I have to work so hard for? Why can't I be the person who says, maybe I'll go and visit another church today? Why can't I be the person who says, well, you know what? There's no Bible study tonight. I've got a family dinner. Everyone go home. And although we'll never admit it, sometimes we do think, if they weren't here, I would love ministry so much more. And if Jesus had left these 11th hour workers, these 5 o'clock workers out of the parable, oh man, it would have made so much sense. You get paid for what you do. But the point of the parable and the point of what God wants to see about himself is in these last hour workers, which reveals that the landowner, he is not interested in giving the workers what they deserve. It is never about our performance in the Christian life. Let's have a think about these last hour workers. Today, you knock off around, you know, 5:30. So these guys are hired around 4:30, probably. And so, let's just say you got a vineyard here in Roseville. You go into the CBD to get someone, right? How long is it going to take you to get back? Half an hour, 40 minutes. They've barely even rolled at their sleeves before they started working here. Barely done a thing before the foreman says, come and get your money. What do they deserve? And if you're thinking they deserve nothing, you're absolutely right. They deserve nothing. But the landowner isn't concerned at what they deserve. He's concerned about what they need. The landowner workers, all their workers, I suspect, well, they've forgotten who they're working for. They're working for a person who owns a vineyard. He's obviously rich. And this landowner who comes in so many times during the day just to hire more and more people, they've also forgotten this. they are the beggars. They are the ones who are desperate for work. They are the ones who are desperate day to day, job after job, task after task. And when you forget that, you think you're entitled to a little bit more in life. Like a beggar who thinks they deserve more from you. He wants more than what he got. And that it is the landowner who's unfair. Can I say the modern day Christian all day worker is marked by this? An absolute frustration of what we do and do not have. And what other people have and haven't done. If we look at Jeffrey Dahmer and are absolutely disturbed and horrified that someone like him could be in heaven, it is precisely because we value ourselves above him and think somehow we are less in need of the gospel than he is. You know, I'd like to imagine the 1 hour work, you know, the last day, I'd like to imagine him leaving that field, walking back to his family, clutching to that denarius. He needed it. His family needed it. And he walks through the door and says to his wife, "Oh man, honey, you'll never guess what happened to me today. I was sitting in the marketplace. It's 5 o'clock. I'm just about to go home. You know, no one wanted to hire me. And this landowner, he comes and asks me if I want to work. And so I figure, well, okay, I mean, there's only 1 hour left. Maybe 1/12 of a denarius. It'll feed the kids at least, right?" He gave me a whole denarius. He gave us a whole denarius. I did nothing. And a few years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine. And he just started confessing all the things he had done. All the things he was ashamed of. All the one-night stands, all the times he'd paid money to someone for a night of pleasure, and he just could not stop talking about it. So many regrets, so many scars, so many things he was so ashamed of. Then when I said, I didn't know what to say. I just said, "Can I pray for you?" And he said, "You and I both know I'm not worthy of that right now." Some of us, that when we think of God, sometimes we can only think we are absolutely not worthy of this. Here's a question worth asking. Does God care about what you have done in the past? Does he care about the sins you've committed? This is the answer. Yes, he does. Man, he does. Of course he does. But that is precisely why we have such a need. Because we see the weight of the shame, that is the need. He sees that. And if God did not care about that, then he would not have sent Jesus. But it is because he so profoundly is aware of what we need, that he brings us to himself and answers with the Son. And so in the gospel, you have everything. Because God has been generous to you. All day worker, middle day worker, late worker. We all have the same thing. Because we all deserved nothing. And we all got Jesus. Why would he do that? And that's really the point in the last few verses. 13. But he answered one of them, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious? Because I am generous. He wants the all-day workers to understand this is about generosity. I choose to be generous with my money because that's who I am. Why do I choose to give purely on need rather than what people deserve? Because I want to be generous. That's how it works. God is sovereign and he's powerful and he created the world and everything and he can do what he likes. He's perfectly capable of anything. But it's not his sovereignty that makes him great. It is because he is sovereign and he is generous. To talk of God's sovereignty alone it's overrated. But a God who is sovereign and he has the character and a heart of generosity, that is someone who is worthy of worship. He gave us what we need. The Son, forgiveness, because generosity, being generous, is God's character. And we see it all in the glory of God, who out of his riches and his generosity sends Jesus to perish on our behalf. Like the landowner who is so endless in his funds, just throwing them around the marketplace. So too is God's generosity. Is God unfair? I think if we've learned anything today, the answer is he is unfair. He's unfair to himself. He's unfair to himself. The landowner, because he's so outrageously generous, the needs of the workers are met out of his own pocket. Just like Jesus, where you and I can only benefit because he was unfair to himself. The gospel is about God being unfair to himself, so that he might give what we need, not what we deserve. It's very humbling, isn't it? Because sometimes there's that little bit of pride that wants us to believe that in some way we have earned something before him. And he says, no. You know, Jeffrey Dahmer, murderer, cannibal, took 16 lives in ways which we would hate to think about. He was once standing in the marketplace when God walked up to him and he says, Jeffrey, come. Come to the vineyard. I will give you what you need, not what you deserve. Come and know true generosity. I mean, Paul, persecuted Christians. He hunted them down and he enjoyed it. Paul was standing in a marketplace one day and God came up to him and said, Paul, come to the vineyard. I'll give you what you need, not what you deserve. Come and know true generosity. You and me were once sinners sitting in the marketplace when God came up to us and said, come, come to the vineyard. I will give you what you need, not what you deserve. Come and know true generosity. Amen.